Welcome to The Empathetic Man. My name is Sethi Hillier, and I'm joined with Nimesh Gupta, and together we are going to help explore how you as a man can be more empathetic. Each week, we are going to dive into a topic that may relate to your relationship with your spouse, your kids, or just life in general. We are looking forward to your engagement and your feedback, so let us know through your comments what other questions we can tackle, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Hey guys, it's Nimesh and Sethi back with The Empathetic Man, and we're going to kind of continue the format we have the last 2 weeks, which has been kind of coming up with a question that is unrehearsed, if you will, the associated response being unrehearsed to kind of further kind of understand how both of us think, and hopefully it being a helpful exercise for you listeners. So the question this week is, what two questions would you ask to get the most information about who a person truly is? And I'll just repeat that. What two questions would you ask to get the most information about who a person truly is? I think that's it's a really cool question to discuss. I can tee it off to you or hand it off to you, Sethi, if you're ready, or I can go on.
I think it's a really cool question. And I think when I hear that type of question, I think I have some of these responses that I would ask or these questions I would ask right away. But then when I start to think about it, if I only had two and I really wanted to get to know somebody, then all of a sudden I have to step back and think, what would be that question I ask? So if you have something right now, definitely run with it. And I'm happy to finish. And maybe, do you want to do something where you kind of have your questions and then we ask that of each other and then vice versa?
Oh man, that's interesting. We could do that. Sure.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. So the first one, would be, I think, like what essentially was the biggest fear you developed from your childhood? And I think the reason I would ask that is we've talked about this, significantly in terms of like your adulthood is your childhood. And I think it's important to understand what someone's kind of fear, and fear is broad, right? It could be fear. It could be, just an overall issue. Like, what issue do you feel like you developed as part of your childhood? And I think through understanding that about a person, you then can kind of see where they're coming from. So yeah, that'd be one question.
Yeah, that's a powerful one, because obviously you have to go quite deep into your past. And I mean, even for me, when you ask, and again, I don't know if you want to kind of go deep into it, like on us answering that question, but for me, when I think about that question, it immediately just starts to drum up like some of the things that I remember when I was a child that kind of elicited that fear factor. But then, I'm also trying to like think about, well, what were some things that, I got maybe afraid of because of something I saw or because something I experienced, but then they were kind of just a momentary, like kind of lapse of time within my life versus things that I feel like have still stuck with me and things that I still maybe kind of question. So it's an interesting question to dissect. And I think for me personally, if I was to answer that question, I would probably say, the things that I, like the fears that I think I kind of faced back as a child that I still feel like kind of resonate with me today would probably be the fears of me feeling as if I was limiting myself, and that something had happened, and because of that, I, hit a wall. And then as a result, I kind of prevented myself from moving forward. And that fear, I know, continued even as I got older. When we talked about it even in the last episode about, that guidance you'd give to your 15-year-old self, as I went to like high school and college, there were those times where I would run into something. And again, I would feel afraid that if I try to do something or if I try to, you know, try some new type of interest, is it going to have some sort of negative outcome that is going to just be so much worse than me trying? And so now I feel like I'm trying to be better at sensing that fear and, you know, acknowledging it. And then as a result, being able to maybe start to break down, okay, well, what was I afraid of? Like, for instance, starting, you know, OneMop, starting the company with you, I had some big fears about, is this a good move? Is this something that's going to take off? Am I going to be financially okay? Is this going to be something that's going to impact my marriage, my kids? There was a lot of fears that I faced, more around the financial aspect, but then even also around the, am I good enough to do this? Am I in a position where I can actually, you know, create something and, you know, sell it and create a business around it? And I think, you know, it's through that exercise of talking it out to myself and maybe with a few people, I was able to not necessarily get rid of all of my fears, but at least start to maybe look at some of my strengths and look at some of the other ways I might be able to approach a situation. And even if things, you know, went completely wrong, you know, what would be those areas that I could go back to that could still get me moving and still keep me going? And I think once I went through that process, then all of a sudden that fear didn't feel like a mountain anymore, but it felt more like a speed bump. So I don't know if that kind of helps to address that question in terms of how it's affected me.
No, thanks for sharing that. And what would you say in particular were like, what provoked that feeling? Right. So I think that's the other kind of part of this question where it's like, okay, that's like a fear, but like what happened to you or did you experience for you to feel that way?
Yeah, I think there was things that, I think it's kind of split. I think there's part of the fear comes from maybe my own personal struggles or some personal situations in the past that are now kind of just turning on that light bulb when I think about something like this. But then I think there's also just kind of society and kind of just general outside influence. And so, you know, for instance, with respect to kind of starting a company, I think there's a part of me outside that's just like, well, you know, is this the best time to be doing this? Is the economy like in a good position? Is there, you know, a good, you know, desire to kind of take, like, for instance, I'll tell you another one that's totally unrelated, like being an actor, right? Like I was a child, like that was always something that I really wanted to do. I wanted to be an actor because I enjoyed, you know, being in front of a camera and kind of entertaining. And I just thought that whole lifestyle of, you know, what an actor goes through always seemed so fun. And I vividly remember thinking about this and having conversations a lot with myself, but even other people like, well, you know, is this the right time? You know, and again, like I think when I was really starting to make a decision on being an actor, which would be around like the late 90s or early 2000s, when I was graduating high school and going into college, I didn't really think that a role for like an Indian, you know, actor was going to be that popular, unless it was something where it's like, you know, I have to play, you know, kind of like the IT, you know, support guy or something. And maybe that kind of narrow-minded view also just limited my chances of doing something in that role. But again, it's like, well, what do I see? And I watch TV, you don't really see a lot of Indian actors, especially in that time. Like you weren't seeing those types of sitcoms or movies and things like that. So there's that influence that affected my quote unquote fear. And then there's just the personal, right? Am I good enough? Like, have I been able to feel enough validation growing up or enough support growing up to say like, you know what, this, you should do it. And if you fail, it's okay. And you know, we got your back or you'll find something else. But you know, like there's things where you don't feel like that. Whereas I felt like if I go down the path of engineering, okay, well, if it doesn't work out, I have an engineering degree. God, you can do a lot with that. But if I go down the path of being an actor and that doesn't work out, what's my options? Do I work at a coffee shop for the rest of my life? You know, it's something that felt really like, it's probably like what an athlete feels like, hey, if I'm going to be an athlete, I'm going all in. And if I'm not, what am I going to do afterwards? So I played it safe in that particular instance, because I was afraid of going down a path that I may not, you know, do well in. And I think when it came down to the second time to start a company, I remember some of those feelings. But then I think in that situation, I felt more prepared. And I felt, you know what, I can do this because I at least have a foundation that will give me other potential launch pads. Whereas I don't feel like I would have had that if I went down the actor route. So I think, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's where I felt like it was stemming from, was just societal impact, as well as, you know, just personal, you know, feedback from the people close to me and them saying like, yeah, totally be an actor. And if it doesn't work out, you have tons of other opportunities. I wasn't getting that type of feedback.
No, thanks for sharing that. And on a side note, I actually think it's never too late to pursue what you want. And you specifically, I see some role, entertainment role in your future. You know, you present well, you don't give a F about what people think for the most part when on stage. And those are very, very strong qualities, you know? So I would encourage you to revisit those dreams, you know, and obviously you have a family and you have, you know, children, and you have to take them into consideration, but I never think it's too late.
No, I mean, I appreciate that. And I think I remember hearing like Bruce Willis started his like acting career at 40. So who knows?
For sure. I mean, man, like, I think it's crazy, right? As we approach our 40s, right? Like, you know, I'm also kind of looking at like Mark Cuban, for example. He didn't become like a hardcore business owner till he was 42. And, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's just never too late. And I think everything you do before that is just, it's preparation, right? Like, nothing is a waste, right? Like, I went to law school and I'm not practicing law, but I never regret it because it made me who I am today. So
Man, thanks for sharing that. That's a really good piece of feedback. And it is kind of funny because I feel like what I did with respect to kind of just my desire and love of kind of being in front of the camera or acting, I feel like is even playing a big part in kind of what I do every day with our company and then everything we do around video. Can I switch it around and throw it at you though? Cause I'm curious what you would say to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, I think people who have been listening to this podcast or know me know that kind of one big factor thing that I, you know, picked up when I was younger was racism. So I won't go into that. What I will go into though is, I think for me was the fear of not earning money. So my dad was, you know, he had a master's in electrical engineering from Santa Clara. And I saw him through when I was growing up working at large companies, and for a variety of whatever reasons, and I didn't understand, like, it was very, I always felt this precariousness in him holding a job. And it was just kind of the nature of being in the technology industry, right? Like, you'd be at a job and sometimes companies would have, you know, a few bad quarters and then have layoffs. And I just remember him, and it wasn't like he got laid off a ton of times, maybe like two or three times, but I remember how much that hit me in terms of like seeing your dad coming back home. And, you know, one thing my dad never did was kind of bring his work home with him emotionally. So he never brought that pressure back to us, but I could feel it. I could sense it. And what that fear did was it created this fear of not being able to like consistently earn money. And that's been one of the main motivations of starting a company, where I wanted to be in full control of how I earned my money and not be at, you know, not be at the mercy of someone else's decisions, if you will. And it also motivated me to expand my skill set so much so that I would be able to do a variety of things. I would never be pigeonholed into only being able to apply for a certain type of job in a certain industry. And that's why, you know, I went from electrical engineering to law to picking up like a deep understanding of finance to now being an entrepreneur, where it's kind of opened up this, you know, this pool of opportunity, if you will. And although, you know, I have kind of fallen into the generalist kind of bucket, if you will, as opposed to a specialist bucket, I do think it's given me opportunity to kind of do different things. So that's kind of been my biggest thing growing up.
Yeah. And I think it's actually really interesting, because I do think growing up, you know, it's probably not till a certain age you start to really start to understand this concept of money. And I think some people, it takes a lot, it happens a lot later in their life. And I mean, now you look at everything that's going on right now with, you know, even COVID, and how so many people are not just unemployed, but are like literally struggling financially. And it is a big problem. And I think just understanding finances is one of these things that, I don't know, people just take for granted, or the school system doesn't really like give you, I think, the best preparation. And so, you know, you having that kind of mindset, I think it just kind of speaks to also just, you know, at least in my opinion of you, like your strengths to just being able to kind of like, you know, be a great planner and just be prepared. And I feel like it's lack of preparation that sometimes, you know, removes those opportunities, right? You know, people always kind of talk about, oh, you know, it's all about luck, it's all about timing. But I think if you're not prepared at that moment, then all of a sudden that lucky strike is not going to really even be that great. So I think it's cool that you've been able to kind of see that, you were able to kind of, I think, see through your dad this situation that is real, that a lot of people face, but they're not prepared for it. And that's amazing that you're able to kind of at least have that foresight and you know, and you're kind of planning accordingly.
No, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Cool. So, I can kind of dish it to you in terms of having a question, or I can.
Yeah. I mean, I started thinking about it, because, you know, I think when I think about this and I want to get to know somebody, I think I would probably, you know, ask them, oh, well, you know, tell me about your upbringing or where you came from. But then I think, I don't know, like the more I've been thinking about it, especially lately with so much controversy that's happening with a lot of different issues, I started to just ask myself, you know, and I know we talked about this in a past episode about this whole concept of like interests and values. And I think the thing that I would ask, and I don't know how this would probably come off to a person who I just met, but my question would be like, you know, what would you say are your top three values? And I guess my follow-up, which maybe is my part two, is what are you doing to kind of enact those values, or to display those values? And then that way I could understand, you know, again, what's important to this person, you know, forget about like their political, you know, or religion or their kind of interest on this or that, but like fundamentally at the lowest level, what do they value and what do they do? And maybe those, what they do are their hobbies and actions and what they're standing. But then it kind of helps to create this connection for me between, you know, what do they really truly value in life and how they live their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know if you want to lead out with that, but like, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, especially three and like ranking, or not even ranking what's important, but
yeah.
Why don't you lead out with that one?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess maybe because I do think about this question, and I know I talked to my wife and my kids about it, but yeah, because I know for me, like I used to ask myself, like, what do I really care about? And then I started to ask myself, well, really, what do I value? Like, what is important to me? And yeah, like on a separate note, like my wife and I, like we started having some difference of opinions in some topics that were, you know, really starting to create not a crossroad, but it was just creating a confusion in the household, because there was just a lot of differences in terms of how she might do something or how I might do something. And, you know, we got some outside help to kind of just talk through this. And I don't think she'll mind, but like one of the values that she said that really resonated with her was harmony. Like she really values harmony. And when I heard that kind of come to light, I started thinking about, yeah, that totally makes sense. You know, like she and like her dad, my father-in-law, like they're, you know, quote unquote people pleasers. Like they like to, you know, not rock the boat. And it's really interesting because as she starts to kind of talk about the things that she would do, like if I ask her questions, oh, I'm easygoing, you know, yeah, whatever you guys want to do. All of these things are fundamentally classified as a people pleaser. But then if you take it one level deeper, actually what she cares about is harmony. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's actually really cool. Because I think that's probably one of the most important things to value. And so I just bring that up because, again, that's why I think it can really start to create like this really amazing picture of a person that you care about. So for me, my values are imagination. And again, I think that's why I've always, you know, been interested in acting, because I do think it's just a cool way for you to express that, like just to be imaginative. I think that's why I also wanted to create a company, because I really enjoy creating something and making something out of nothing and seeing what it can turn into. And it's something that, like, I always tell my kids, like, you know, I'm like, a lot of people will kind of, you know, like the Indian dad will always say, hey, be an engineer, be a doctor, be this, be that. Like, I tell my kids all the time, like, I don't care what you guys are, just, you know, do something that you feel is going to fulfill yourself. And if I can help guide you and figure out how to make that something that can become, you know, monetary and financially like viable and kind of help you protect yourself, like that's what I'm going to do. But I just think that's been something that I've always really enjoyed, is just imagination and like all the aspects that come with it. I'd say the next one is, and it's not in any particular order, is integrity. I just feel like, you know, being able to know someone and then know what they say and what they do is kind of who they are. And there is no kind of, there's nothing else kind of that you need to worry about. There is no kind of hidden agenda, like just being clear, being transparent, being able to be held accountable, being able to kind of do what you say, honor your word, I think is just so important. And, you know, I'm not perfect. There's definitely times where I may like kind of slip up, but that's a really important value that I try to even, you know, constantly remind not just myself, but the people I care about around me, is like, hey, like I don't look for perfection, because I think when people try to be perfect, then all of a sudden integrity gets lost. I'd rather them be like, you know, honest and open and, hey, this is what I was able to do, and this is where I'm like still struggling. Cause then I think that's when people can collaborate and do a lot of really amazing things together. So yeah, imagination, integrity. And I had a third one, but I'm blanking on it right now. So maybe I'll stop right there. Does that kind of give you an idea of kind of how I think that question helps?
That's a lot. And, you know, back to the harmony piece, that's interesting, because I do feel I share some characteristics with your wife, in that I do feel like I'm a people pleaser as well. And harmony is it's an interesting way to capture that. So that's something to think about. I think for me, and you know, I'd love to take some more time to think about it, but the three things that really kind of pop to me are, one value is just reliability, right? Like for me, the people I associate with and what I kind of set forth is just reliability. Like it's kind of a motto in my family where it's like, if you're early, you're on time. And if you're on time, you're late. That's kind of one example where, like, you know, or if like someone calls you, like you pick up, or if you can't pick up, you tell them why, or if you didn't pick up and time has elapsed, like, you know, you owe that there's just aspect of reliability, which is kind of a function of responsiveness, et cetera. So reliability is huge to me. And it's something that I, you know, reciprocate, and my closest friends and family know that, you know, I'm not unreachable. And if I am, then there's something wrong. So that's one. Number two is contrarianism, not for the sake of being contrarian, but not being extra cognizant, not to be a lemming, right? Not to buy into something because other people are saying it, but at the same time, not being completely closed to something just because someone else is saying it, but having that hybrid where you have the ability to listen to what someone has to hear and then not being afraid to layer on your own perspective, although it may lead to a contrarian viewpoint, but really, you know, being honest with yourself to understand, like being honest with yourself and knowing that you've really taken the time to like apply the framework to understand why you've come out to that particular, you know, contrarian viewpoint. And I think the last part is just spiritualism, right? Like, you know, I'm not super religious, but I do believe in a higher being. And I think that, you know, whatever, and this may be just related to having a moral compass or having just extreme kind of ethical kind of guidelines, if you will. I just feel like, you know, to believe that karma exists, for example, or to believe that actions on your end that impact others in a negative way or your negligent actions do have consequences. And as a result, you should be mindful of that. And at the very least, not do things out of the worry that those things will be done to you, you know, even at like a magnified level. So I think those are three on my end: reliability, contrarianism, and spiritualism.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing. And I think what's really cool is we've known each other for so long now. And, you know, some of them that you were saying, like, I was like, yeah, that totally makes sense. Like how you live your life, how you show up every day, how I've communicated with you, like, I see that, like, it's baked in, which I think is so cool, because that's, it does start to help me understand like why you act the way you act or why this person would act the way they act, because I'm starting to make that connection. And probably the one that was, I think, most interesting was kind of the spiritual aspect, because, you know, it is interesting. I think this generation of folks, you know, you, myself, you know, our age included, the millennials, I feel like are less kind of religious, but still there's this kind of, I think there is this desire to kind of connect to something bigger. And I think spirituality is becoming kind of that new religion. And I don't even want to say it is a religion. I just think it's maybe a state of mind, maybe kind of like some of the Zen mindset things that we've talked about in the past. And I do also kind of start to wonder, like, how do I even want to eventually have that conversation with my kids? So that's cool to know that that's part of you, because that's something I think is really important. And I finally remember my third, which probably is kind of related to it, which is persistence. Like, I just think it's, for me personally, like, I've always just had this mindset, like, you know, there is no stop. There is no wall. It's not about like, you know, hitting a destination. It's just about continuing. And yeah, I'm going to have my ups and downs, and I may, you know, not do things the right way, but like, I'm still going to continue to move forward and always try to like give it my best. So I think that kind of rounds out my three: imagination, integrity, and persistence. But it's cool because I don't even think there's any right or wrong value. Like, when I ended up having that conversation with my wife and harmony came up, it wasn't even like, oh, well, you have this and I don't, and so we're not right for each other. If anything, it was like, wow, I get it. And if anything, maybe that's how we're able to stay together, because she's so good at harmonizing with me. But I think it's also just a really interesting, you know, question to have with people really close to you, so that you can start to understand how you and that person can, you know, work off each other better.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's a good kind of note to end on. I think maybe next week we can do like part two, but I think the two questions that were asked here, one on mine was like, what's your biggest fear/issue from your childhood? And yours, like, what are kind of three values that you subscribe to? I think those are kind of two really cool questions to be able to ask someone, again, maybe not when you first meet them, but as you start getting to know them, to really understand who they are, but also to help you understand, you know, where they're coming from and connect the dots on why they may act in certain ways.
Yeah, man, I can already tell you, I'm going to plan to ask these questions this weekend when people come over.
That's awesome. Well, cool, man.
All right. Thanks, everyone. And we'll talk to you next time.
And that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening all the way till the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed The Empathetic Man. Our goal is to help you on your journey to become more empathetic and ultimately become the best version of yourself. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to share it with your family, your friends, your network, anyone who you think is looking to become more empathetic. They can be a man, woman, it doesn't matter. The goal here is to help the world be more empathetic one step at a time. Now, we would also love your feedback. If you can, give us your feedback on the Apple iTunes. You can give us your comments as well as you can rate this podcast. That way we can get more viewers and more people thinking about how they can become more empathetic. Thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.